Now we're turning in our Bible for our scripture reading to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. While you're looking that up, can I say it's a joy and a privilege to be here, and it has been during the past week. And we look forward to the concluding week of the Gospel mission. And we trust that you'll come along and that you'll support us and join with us night after night. If the meetings do you no good, they'll do you no harm. And certainly you'll enjoy those who come to sing, and also the singing of the hymns. You know, it's true, we only get out of what we put into it. And the more we put into the mission, then the more we will get out of it. That even applies to God's people. And I read a story of a boy one time. His father took him to church for the first time. He was now about 4 years of age. And the wee boy said, "Daddy, what are they doing here?" And he said, "Son, it's like this. The more you put into it, the more you'll get out of it." But what did that mean to a boy of 4 years of age? And so his father gave him a 10 pence piece to put in the offering. And when the minister announced the offering, the wee boy thought, "This is what Daddy means now. The more you put into it, the more you get out of it." So he dropped his 10p in, but he did something else. And then when they got out of the service, the wee boy said to his daddy, "What did you put into it, Daddy, and what did you get out?" Well, he says, "I put 10p in and I got a pound out." I wouldn't really advise that in a free church. It's not a good policy. And you might find someone top you on the shoulder. But do come to the meetings and join with us and help us night by night. We're turning to Matthew chapter 27. And of course, we're going to read but a few verses because you'll understand that Matthew chapter 27 deals with the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's standing before Pilate, the governor. And, of course, the chief elders and the priests, they persuaded the multitude to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And then in verse 22, it says, "Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." We'll end our Bible reading there. God again will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Can we just ask for the Lord's help? Our Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks again tonight for your goodness to us. We thank you for our health and strength enabling us to be here. And we're mindful of those who need a physical touch from you. And pray that your hand will be upon them even this very night, that they might know the healing virtue of Christ flow through their body. And that your presence will be their portion. But for those who have been able to come out here under the sound of your word, we ask that you'll write your truth indelibly upon the tables of our heart, that we might not only hear, but that we might also heed your precious word. We thank you that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And ask that the gospel in its simplicity might come by way of challenge to our hearts. Help me to rightly divide the scriptures, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts might be acceptable in your sight. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take as our text the very opening verse that we read together, verse 22. And Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do there with Jesus, which is called Christ? I believe that that is a very, very important text of scripture, especially at this stage in our gospel campaign. You'll understand, of course, that the Bible is full of very powerful, very pointed, and very personal questions. For example, in James chapter 4, in the verse 14, the Bible says, by way of question, what is your life? And we are challenged to sit down there and ponder our life, and the Bible reminds us that it's a vapor, and it appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. It's short. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The Bible brings another great question to our heart. How will you do in the swelling of Jordan? In other words, how will it be with you and me in the day of our death? Because death is but a doorway that leads us into eternity, either into heaven or, sadly, into hell. And here we have another very, very important question brought to us from the lips of the governor. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And those words pour from his lips over 2,000 years ago. And they have fallen from the lips of many an individual down through the course of human history. A question that should surely be found on the lips of every individual at some stage in their life. You see, there comes a moment in all of our lives when God bids us make our choice between this world and his dear Son. That particular moment had come in the life of Herod. That moment may come for you during this gospel campaign. And it's important that you make the right decision. Because when we come to look at the text, we're actually looking at the hour of decision in Pilate's life. And this mission may be God's hour of decision in your life. This meeting may be God's moment of decision for you. And I want you to look with me tonight very briefly at Pilate's life. Learn from his fatal mistake. Lest the awful eternity that is his tonight be yours. Because you didn't do what was right with Jesus Christ. What shall I do then with Jesus? Maybe I should turn that question around tonight and put it this way. What will you do without Jesus? And many people will boldly say, I can live very well without Christ. And you know, as you look out across this world, many are. And some will say, I can die without Christ. And sadly, many, even in our beloved land, they are dying without Christ. But friend, there is something that you cannot do without Christ. You cannot get into God's heaven without Christ. Yea, man can live without Christ and he can die without Christ, but he can't get into heaven without Christ because Jesus said, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he is the only door, for he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What shall I do there with Jesus, which is called Christ? I want you to look with me very, very simply at the crisis that faced him, because this was a crisis moment, a crisis day, a crisis hour in the life of the governor Pilate. If you cast your eye to verse 11 of this scripture reading, the Bible says, and Jesus stood before the governor. And there's a day coming when the governor will stand before Jesus. And there's a day coming when we all will stand before Jesus. Therefore, my friend, it is vitally important that you're found at Him with your robes washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Because tonight God sees us, each and every one. He sees us in our sin, or He sees us in His Son. But one day, we'll stand before Him. Now that was a crisis moment. And it's always a crisis moment when we are confronted with the claims of Christ. And I trust that that moment will come in your life even this very night. Now, thinking about the crisis that faced Him, there's first of all the message in His heart. Pilate was not a man in blind ignorance. He knew all that he needed to know about Christ. He heard the reports. His wife, she came, and she warned him concerning dreams that she had, and told him to have nothing to do with that just man. And there's many in this land, and maybe someone here tonight, and you find yourself in that same situation. There's nothing that I'm going to tell you that you don't already know about Christ. You know about His birth, His virgin birth. You know about His life, His sinless life. You know about His atoning death. You know about His resurrection. You know about His ascension. You even believe that one day, as Job said, He shall stand upon this earth. You know all that. But my friend, do you know Christ personally? Sadly, there's many, and they can testify like Timothy could. But sadly, they don't know Christ. Timothy, from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And you can recall childhood days and Sunday school and children's meetings and gospel missions where you heard about Christ. And yet, my friend, how is it with you tonight spiritually? What have you done with what you've heard? Faith comes by hearing, but have you heeded the gospel? Pilate, he had the message on his heart. But then there's a man on his hands. Because he says, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And Christ was no ordinary person. And Pilate knew there was no fault in him, because he stood before those hostile people and said, why, what evil hath he done? On another occasion it's recorded, he says, I find no fault in this man. Yet sadly, he crucified him. And the man on your hands tonight is no ordinary man. He's the one in whom you have your physical life, because the Scripture says, in Him we live and move and have our being. You and I could not breathe, take another breath, speak another word, take another step, without His divine permission and enablement. But the man on your hands tonight, as the man on the hands of Christ or Pilate that night, he's the sinless Son of God. You know, there's people and they're always pointing the finger of the accusation into the face of Christians and saying, this is my excuse for not being saved. So-and-so's a Christian, they're doing this, they're doing that, and all the rest of it. But Jesus said, look unto me, and be ye saved. And my friend, if you look at Christ, you'll find that there is not a fault and there's not a flaw in Him. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God, the one who suffered on Calvary's cross, laid down His life and shed His blood, the ransom price of lost sinners, the one who was taken out through the narrow streets of Jerusalem, up to Golgotha's brow where He laid down His life, and there wasn't a word of protest fell from His lips, laid as a lamb to the slaughter. The substitutionary one, the one who took our place and died for us. You see, the hymn writer says there was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. That's the one you have in your hands. You know, the Bible tells us that you and I are not to fear those who can kill our body. And after they have killed our body, there's nothing more that they can do. Yet, isn't it a true fact? Those are the people we fear. But the Bible says, fear him who has not only the power to kill your body, but after he's killed your body, has power to destroy your soul in hell. And yet, sadly, there's no fear of him before the eyes of the people. And that day, sadly, in his hour of crisis, Pilate feared the people more than he feared Christ. But there's not only the crisis that faced him, but then the courage that failed him. Listen to him as he cries out, "What shall I do then?" There was one thing absolutely clear in his mind, that whatever he would do, he must do something. And that's how it is today, people. There's no neutrality in religion. There's neutrality in politics, there's neutrality in other things, but there's no neutrality in religion. We're either in Christ or out of Christ, saved or lost. But neutral we cannot be. And someday our heart may be asking, what will Jesus do with me? Now, thinking about the courage that failed him, there were many voices that day that were clamoring for the attention of Pilate. And my friend, when gospel missions come, and even at times when we are confronted with the claims of Christ, often there's other voices that clamor for our attention. Think about getting saved, that God touch your heart. Consider that matter, and you'll find that you have an enemy that you never thought you had in the person of Satan. And he comes in many different ways. And that day when Pilate was faced with this awful crisis, there were many voices that were clamoring for his attention. There was first of all the voice of Caesar. In John 19 and verse 12, the Bible says, where the people shouting at Pilate because Pilate was of the mind to let Jesus go. And they said, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. And no doubt the voice of Caesar, that was the voice of position, that was the voice of power, that was the voice of prestige, that meant more to Pilate than honor and honesty and integrity. And often that's the same with people today. You become a Christian, what are people going to think of you? What are people going to say about you? But there was not only the voice of Caesar that day, but then there was the voice of Christ. Because in John's Gospel, the record of this particular story, the Bible says, then saith Pilate unto him, that is unto Jesus, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee? And I have power to release thee? And Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. The voice of Christ. Friend, have you heard the voice of Christ? Maybe you can look back across your life and the Lord has spoken to you. And he's spoken to you through people. He's spoken to you through preaching. He's spoken to you through circumstances. All things have happened in this land that should have spoken to your heart about the brevity of life, the uncertainty of time, the certainty of death, the urgency of getting right with God. And God's voice has been speaking loud and clear. The voice of Christ. That was the voice of him who was the very best that God could offer. His only begotten Son. God himself in human flesh. Christ standing in Pilate's judgment hall. That is the voice of love that speaks. Has God been speaking to your heart? The hymn writer says, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me in red. My friend, have you heard the voice of the Savior? And what have you done with that? When Jesus speaks, there must be some response. Hence, Pilate says, what shall I do? But there was not only the voice of Caesar that day and the voice of Christ, but then there was the voice of his companion, because his wife, she came to him and she said, have nothing to do with that just man. I have suffered much in a dream because of him. In other words, whatever other people are going to do, so be it, but don't you become involved. And my friend, that's how it is. And let me say this to you. And let me say it with love to your heart. What others are going to do, it may be you'll have to lead them to do it. If others are going to go down the road to a lost eternity, in God's name, don't go down the road with them. And his wife said, have nothing to do with this. If they're going to reject Christ, don't be involved. If they're going to crucify Christ, don't you have anything to do with this. The voice of his companion. And maybe there's a loved one in your family that speaks to you of your need of Christ, and they live their Christian life before you, and they pray for you every day, and maybe they give up a night of the week to come to the church prayer meeting, and your name is spoken in heaven week after week and day after day. A loved one warning you of the wrath to come. What have you done with that voice? Then there was the voice of the crowd. Because the crowd, they cried out, crucify him. Pilate said, why? What evil has he done? They said, away with him, crucify him. We are not going to have this man reigning and ruling over us. And sadly, they would have anything and anybody but Christ. Now that's how it is in our society today. People will have anybody, they will have anything in their life, but they don't want Jesus in their life. These people said, give us Barabbas. They would have a murderer. They would have a seditioner. They would have an insurrectionist. But they wouldn't have Christ. Sadly, that's how it is today in many a life. They have room for pleasure and they've room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in your heart for which he died. Then there was the voice of conscience. And folks, we all have a conscience. That little sermonizer that God has stationed down in the deeper recesses of every individual heart. And you remember it's recorded in John chapter 18 in the verse 38, where Pilate again is speaking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Pilate said to the Savior, what is truth? In other words, his conscience was at work. And those words show the struggle that's going on in his mind and his heart. Pilate knew that the crowd didn't want the truth. He says he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And before Pilate stood that day, the truth personified in Christ. Jesus was and Jesus is the truth. For he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And Pilate knew what was truth, but he didn't do the truth. He knew what was right, but he did what was wrong. And he testified to that, as to not a fault in Christ. Yet he crucifies the Son of God. And when those voices clamored for his attention, his courage fails him. You know, I suppose Ulster people are maybe different than other people anywhere throughout the world, or maybe we think we are. And we're always up for challenges. I read of a man who went into a shop. He was an English man. And he went in along with his Irish friend. They were buying a pair of boots. The English man looked at the boots and he said, "Now those are good boots and those would wear for a long time." The Irish man looked at the boots and he said, "Those are good boots. You could give a man a good kick with those." And you see, we're always up for challenges, aren't we? But when it comes to the challenge of the gospel, that's a very different thing. What would people think? What would people say? How would I tell them tomorrow at my place of work? How would I go home tonight and tell my family, "I found Christ my Savior"? And they may laugh and joke and jest, and that may be so, but my friend, what an awful day if you hear the echo of God's laugh ringing out down through the corridors of eternity. God laughing at your calamity. God mocking when your fear cometh. This is the day of salvation and you should trust him, because there's coming a day of terrible judgment. When the God who you reject will be the God who rejects you. Let me just conclude with the contempt that filled him. Pilate knew all he needed to know about Christ. He listens to the voice of the crowd. He listens to the voice of conscience. He listens to the voice of Caesar. He listens to the voice of his companion. Have nothing to do with this. But the Bible tells us he crucified Christ. Notice his indecision there. What shall I do? And again, that is the biggest decision in any individual's life. My friend, what you will do with Christ this night may settle your eternal destiny forever, either heaven or hell. Pilate tries to evade the issue. But friend, there's no evading of it, because this has to do with time and this has to do with eternity. You see, many other decisions have only to do with time, but this one has to do with eternity. And the Bible tells us of his complete indifference here, because when they said, "Crucify him," and they cried out the louder, and they cried out the more, and they cried out the stronger, and every little argument that Pilate was going to put up, they were going to shout it down. They had set their heart, they'd fixed their mind, they were going to kill the Prince of Life. They were not having him in their community, and they were not having him in their life. My friend, this is a picture of your life. You want everything and everybody else in your life, but not Christ. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Which literally means, and there's many of course deny the existence of God, but while others do not deny the existence of God, they deny his rightful place in their life. No God, not for me. Give me my Barabbas. Give me my sin. And that's how it was with Pilate. And he delivered Jesus to be crucified. The Bible says there in verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and he washed his hands, saying, "I'm innocent." And I say this, friend, if you reject Christ, you're not innocent. And neither was Pilate innocent that day. And he would soon realize that water cannot wash away sin. You see, people don't mind engaging in every sacrament that belongs to the church. And some would live and die for the church, but they wouldn't have Christ. They're like the Laodiceans who shut Christ out. My friend, have you shut Christ out of your life? Maybe one day, you plan to trust Him. Your heart's cry this night is just give me a little longer. The world, it is so bright. But when I feel that I am dying, I'll get saved. But not tonight. And what if God's Spirit should strive with you no more? We made reference in the Gospel Mission to the late Frank Marshall, an evangelist that worked with the Irish Evangelistic Band, working along the border counties. Frank Marshall had a gospel mission in the Diamond Orange Hall. Most people will know where that is, or at least most people will know of it. Many people attended that mission, and many people were gloriously saved. And there were two men who came night after night, because a mission in those days, everybody went. There was really little to keep them away. They were not contending with television and other things. And so a mission was quite something in a community. And these two men came night after night. And on the closing Monday night of that mission, one of those men put his trust in Christ and was gloriously saved. He determined that he'd be back every night with his unconverted friend. He wanted to see his friend saved. But night after night, when the invitation was given, he walked out. They come now to the closing Sunday night. And this was the final night the invitation was given, but there was no response in his heart. No matter how his friend tried to persuade him, he was going out for the last time without Christ. And those two men were actually the last two men out of the hall that night. In fact, the unconverted man was the very last out. And his friend in front of him had thanked Frank Marshall for having the mission, coming that way, pointing him to the Savior. And just as his unsaved friends took Frank Marshall by the hand to bid him goodbye, a gust of wind banged the door shut. And he was startled and he was afraid. And he looked for his saved companion and he said, "What has happened?" He said, "Nothing. The wind has caught the door and banged it shut." "Oh," he says, "I have a witness in my heart that God has shut his door in my face forever." And he was never known to go back to a gospel campaign ever in his life. Never again walk through the door of a church. You see, God's Spirit shall not always strive with man. And that was Pilate's hour of decision. And he made the wrong decision. And he sold his soul to a lost eternity. My friend, make the right decision. And lay hold upon eternal life. Let this night and let this mission be your moment of decision for Jesus Christ. What will you do then with Christ? And if you reject Him, what will you do then without Christ? Let me encourage you this night to give Him your heart, trust Him as your Savior, and do it now. Eisinger said across radio to Germany during the war, Hide your wives and your families in the safest place and do it now. For there's danger and there's death and delay. And so it is spiritually. There's danger and there's death and delay. Don't put off the matter of your soul's salvation. Trust Christ. Do it now. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again that there is a way back to thee from the dark paths of sin. And a door has been opened and we can go in. And at Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as sinners to Jesus. And we pray that you'll bring sinners to Jesus this night. And just with our heads bowed and our eyes shut, we're going to sing a couple of verses. You'll know the hymn, Just As I Am Without One Plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. We're singing that verse, and then we're singing verse 2, Just As I Am and Waiting Not. And friend, if God has spoken to your heart in the mission, or God has spoken to your heart this night, there's loved ones who've spoken to you and prayed for you. Isn't it time to seek the Lord? Then come, and come tonight. Let's keep our heads bowed. Let's sing this verse. Friend, make it the prayer of your heart. And trust the Savior. Just as I am. Feel we can help you spiritually, and be here when others have gone, or go to your bedside as I did, and trust Christ as your Savior. Jesus said, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Heavenly Father, give that deciding grace. Realize that salvation is of the Lord. Thou must save, and thou alone. We pray that you'll draw hearts irresistibly by thy Spirit and bring them to faith in Christ. Separate us now with your blessing. Grant to us all journey mercies and bless us in the incoming week, nights of this mission. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.